Test. Not too high. Test.
Good morning, and welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. One note, the red books, make sure we get them all signed and passed along to the end, please. We will start off with prayer concerns this morning, and the pastor gave me a note that Fred Walton from the Deckerville Church has had a stroke, and so we certainly need to keep Mr. Walton in our prayers. And that's the only one I have up here. And for announcements, we have a note from the Free Store, the volunteers at the Free Store. Thank you so much for your gifts to the Free Store / Ministry Center. We appreciate your thoughtfulness. It helps our ministry to continue. Thanks again. And the next announcement is next week in the Story Through the Bible class that Monica has over here. In the they will be looking at what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. So if you'd like to know more about the gifts that you have or have any questions, please join Monica in her class next Sunday at 9:45. And after church today, if you could just stay for just a couple of minutes, we will have an explanation on using the AED apparatus that for those who, a few of us took a class earlier in the week on CPR and use of the AED, which is like the defibrillator, in case someone here in the church has an issue. We went through that training, and like I say, just for a couple of minutes after church, so there will be an explanation regarding the AED. Birthdays. Do we have any birthdays today? Yes. Any others? Quarter of a century. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Any others? Let us sing happy birthday. Oh, yes. That's great. Oh. Okay, let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday. I'd sing many more, but most of you might leave. Anniversaries. Do we have any anniversaries this week? No anniversaries. Okay. A few weeks ago, Dr. David Jeremiah, who a number of you know, talked about clutter. Not the clutter that we have around the house, but or the wrong roadsides, but just clutter that comes to us that gets in the gray matter up here. So at this time, let's get rid of that clutter. I'm sorry. Oh,
it's okay. Finish yours and I'll do it.
Okay, sorry about that. Sorry about that. You just need to throw something at me, Linda. Yeah. So that being said, before our acolytes and our pastor come forward, let's get rid of some of that clutter that's thrown at us and clear our minds and prepare our hearts for today's service.
Last Sunday was the first Sunday people had an opportunity to sign up to write a devotional for the Lenten devotional booklets that this congregation has been putting together for nearly 25 years. As I go back through them, what a history of the congregation we have just reading through those. But it was a stormy Sunday last Sunday, and so a lot of you didn't have a chance to sign up. In fact, I was surprised when the clipboard got handed back to me. Already 17 had signed up, and we only allow 40. And then I saw Oren Campbell during the week to twist his arm, and pastors who signed up for hers. And then Gayla, when we talked about who was going to write it up for the newsletter, reminded me that Catherine Phillips had already sent hers in from Florida. And by the time we remember those who have died, we're over halfway there. But some of you didn't have a chance to sign up if you weren't here last Sunday, or maybe you've thought of something in the meantime. But some people who say they can't think... Thank you. Some people who... Oh, and on the clipboard are also little business cards Gayla makes, so you know how to email it to her if that's how you're going to do it. If you write it out in longhand or type it or something, it could be handed into the office. But sometimes people say, well, I can't think of anything. I always talk about God moments. And some of you may have heard me say to you when you're sharing something that happened in your life during the year, I say, remember that and write it up for a God moment. But perhaps you didn't remember that. He said, another year I'm going to start keeping a list of my own to remind you of that. But another thing, if you can't think of something to write about, perhaps somebody near and dear to you you've lost this year. Write out perhaps what that person meant to you in your life, whether they're connected to us or not. They're definitely connected to you. Or sometimes I find when I need to write an article on something and it just never comes to me even how to get started, I'll sometimes start with a list. It's easier to write a list than it is narrative. Sometimes I make the list into a narrative, and sometimes I just leave it as a list because I find a lot of times people, if they're in a hurry, will say, oh, I'll read that narrative later, but it's easy to skim a list. So those are some ideas if you can't think of something to write about. So hopefully we have everything signed up by this the end of this church today. But so thank you.
Thank you, Linda. My apologies for missing you back there. One other announcement, there is going to be a cookie decorating social Sunday, February 9th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Deckerville Methodist Church. And there's also going to be a craft station there. It's a free event for preschool and elementary students, so make your own Valentine's by Deckerville Community Hospital. Is that right? Anything to add to that? Okay. Again, let's prepare our hearts for this morning's service. And now, please stand for our praise song this morning, number 2129, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
have our call to worship. The Lord, our God, calls us to turn from the past and to be his special people.
To find him joy in Eden, a new life here and now.
And eternal bliss in the world to come.
Come, let us praise the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord, help us as we come together to worship you, to hear the still, small voice, to feel the rustling of your spirit, to experience the warming of our hearts, to understand the mysteries of our faith, to recognize your presence among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And now let us join together in the singing of hymn number 398, Jesus Calls Us.
Going to invite the kids to come up for a children's message. Come on up. You can come. Oh, you're going to come over there that way? Okay. All right. The kids have a few songs that they're going to sing this morning. So taller ones in the back, younger ones in the front. Okay. Thank you, Miss Paula, for playing. Got one more. They're going to spread out.
Go,
All right, before you don't go away. Don't go away. That was great. I am so happy. And you guys did a great job. Thank you. And you know what? You sang a song about Sunbeam. I don't think Miss Erin or anybody in the Sunday school class knew that we're going to sing a song, Heavenly Sunlight, in choir. Isn't God good? That's what we call God moments. That's what we call a God moment, okay? So I'm going to come down here. Can you just hold those for a second? Because we have somebody else over here that's not in with the kids, but I got to come hold. Because here is Claire, and Claire's been here, but it's been like Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to baptize this babe pretty soon. I put you on the spot. So here is Claire, but I have a question for all of you today. I know Claire can't answer me, but you guys can. What do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do?
Be a librarian.
Chemical engineer. Chemical engineer. Wow. Woo. Anybody else have any ideas? Dairy farming. All right. Johnny, you got any ideas what you want to do? Not yet? What do you want to do? Say that again.
A writer.
Good for you. Okay. That's a great idea. Well, you know, Jesus calls us. Did you hear that song, Jesus Calls Us? Well, you sang that, and I've decided to follow Jesus. This morning's scripture is all about Jesus calling us and us following him. You think you guys can do that too? So you got to have your dreams, but we also want to make sure that we follow Jesus, right? All right, let's say a prayer. Can you say it with me? Dear God, help me to follow you and be my best so I glorify you. Amen. All right, Erin's got the children's bulletins, and I guess I'm going to have to give up the babe. I don't think I could hold her through the whole service, but I'd like to. Yeah, there you go. All right. Oops. All right. Good job. Good job, everyone.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 27, 1, 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Roger. And so now the choir is going to sing Heavenly Sunlight. But I have to have it.
Walking in sunlight, all of my journey over.
as the choir is going down, I'm going to remind us that there's coffee in the back and water. You can even get up and get a refill. And enjoy coffee as we worship. Thumbs up from some of you. It's called what we call hospitality in the United Methodist Church. So do not be afraid to get up and get some more or get some if you haven't had some the first time. There was one, maybe not a concern, but yeah, I'm going to ask for prayers. It's for my husband. He's leaving this afternoon to go see his mom in Texas, and he's driving. I'm not going since I've been out of work so much, and I could not handle that drive. So keep him in prayer as he is gone. His mom's birthday is this Friday, and he'll be gone for a couple weeks. So keep him in your prayers. Let us go to our Lord in prayer, and as we do, we remember family, farm, and home, which is the business of the week that we're praying for. Let us pray. Our Father, who in Christ has come into the world as a saving servant, who calls us to be disciples in his name, we praise you for the glorious company of apostles and martyrs, for witnesses who carry the gospel beyond their own national borders into all nations. O God, we are breathless with wonder as we behold your life in Christ. Still, you are going before us in everlasting truth and leading us with the power of your eternal Spirit. Yet you do patiently wait for us when we linger behind, sometimes confused or blinded, maybe even feeling like we are not a leader. When we stumble in our sins, you raise us to the stature of righteousness, and we give you thanks. When in overconfidence we venture beyond our wisdom and strength, you look up upon us as understanding friend. O Christ, O God, we thank you for your forgiveness and guidance. Help us to learn from you, to keep close to the influence of your love and within hearing of your voice. Master of the good life, teach us to minister instead of waiting to be ministered unto, until we find our life in your joy and likeness. Send us forth day by day as those who know that you did become flesh to live here on this earth with us. Keep us confident in discipleship, wherein we die unto self and live unto you. Preserve us from jealousy of the gifts and attainment of others, and unite our differing talents in the doing of your will. Reveal the times in which we are to stand in faith, or when we are to venture boldly in your name. Send us to the fields of humanity, where we shall enter into the struggle between heartache and joy, shame and honor, despair and hope. Sustain the spirit of those who know that they are close to heaven's door. Quicken the spirit of those who must make the decision for many people, and break the hardness of heart of those who have turned from you. In this we pray as you taught us together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, would you now stand and sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Thank you. Please remain standing for the gospel reading, Matthew 4, 12 to 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake, in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. So, I don't know how many of you noticed, we've changed our color on the altar to green. We're in a season of Epiphany, after Epiphany, and also ordinary time. In that time, it's a time for us as Christians to follow and learn more about Jesus, to grow in our faith, to discern what God is calling us to do, and to continue, or at least, for a first time maybe, follow him. So in this scripture, we see that Jesus begins his ministry. Last week, we were seeing that he was beginning as well, and this week is not too much different than last week, but with a little more addition to it. When we look at the beginning, it's looking at the beginning of Christ. It's the beginning of a new year, beginning of his ministry. But our liturgical year actually begins with Advent. So when our calendar as the United Methodist Church, we begin in December, go through Advent with the color purple, which is more glory for God, praise for God, his royalty. Then we turn to white for Christmas in Epiphany time. Now we're after Epiphany and we've got green. And green is 33 to 34 weeks of the year. It is the most common time. A time for us to reflect, a time for us to look within ourselves as well as grow closer to God. After the green, we move into Lent. Sorry, we've already done Advent. Lent comes as we prepare ourselves for Easter. That goes back to the purple. And then Easter, we have white. And we have white until Pentecost, which is every year. It just depends on when Easter is, how many weeks. This year it will be on May 31st and we change to red. Normally it's red just for the day and then we go to green until we come back to Advent. Sometimes as a pastor, I like to use the red for a month because we never see red. So sometimes I kind of make that change a little bit just to have some difference. But in this ordinary time, we're ordinary people. We're ordinary people just like Peter and Andrew and James and John. They were fishers. And they went out and fished and were doing their job when Jesus came. And did you hear the words after Jesus called them what they did? Immediately, they left. Right away, they went and did. Well, I know I didn't do that. When Jesus called me to be a pastor, I ran the other way. I don't know where you are. Is Jesus calling you if you're following him? But there was a story as I was reading some of the commentary about a man who didn't have the heart of Christ. He was sad and depressed. He wanted to take his own life, and he believed that that's what God was telling him to do. Now, as Christians, we know that God does not tell us to do something evil. That is not from our God. That is another voice. And it's sometimes hard to describe or discern what voice is talking to us. Is this really God telling me that I should do this? But we know no matter what it is, if it is something that is evil, that is something goes against who God is and what God wants for us, then it is not God speaking to us. In fact, in John 10:10, he says that he wants for us to have an abundant life. And in Psalm 139, he tells that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We've been in our mother's wombs, fearfully and wonderfully made, made as an image of God. So God does not want us to take our own life. He does not want us to do harm to others because we are created in the image of God. God wants us to follow him, to give him glory and honor. He wants us to follow him to deepen our relationship with him, our faith journey, to have some of those God moments and to share them. He wants us to establish some communication with him. That's what we do when we pray, is communicate to God. That's part of a relationship that we have with God. To follow him is, as I said last week, to be his hands and his feet. To be Christ in the world here today. Now, this scripture talks about John being put into prison, and that he was sent in, and so, let me read this line. Let me try to get my words correct. Jesus heard that John had been put in prison. He withdrew to Galilee. He wasn't going to go in the same direction where John was because it was not his time. And if he knew he went to be around John or tried to get John out of prison, he too may be imprisoned. And it wasn't his time. It was just the beginning of his ministry. And we know that Jesus ministered for 3 years here on earth before he had his time to be put to death. So he tells us that he went to this certain area and he went and lived in Capernaum. And he did that as part of the prophecy of what was said in Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Did you catch that? See, God is leader for all Jews and Gentiles, for all of us. He wants all of us to follow him no matter who we are. And in his preaching as he began, he says, repent. Now, repent means that you turn away, do not do what you've been doing, but stop doing that, turn around and follow him. Repent, for heaven is coming near. Heaven is coming near. Sometimes people call it the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is near. As we, as pastors, we usually have to write papers. And one of the papers is, what do we believe in the kingdom of God? And we get all kinds of answers. And what we need to remember is that the kingdom of God is not just the kingdom of heaven. kingdom of God is right here on earth now. God is with us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we want to enjoy the kingdom of God here on earth as it will be in heaven. So what does that mean? That means that we want to be kind and loving and caring for others here on this earth. And I believe that's where God is calling us as a church. To be kind, to love one another, to help one another, to guide one another. So how do we do that? Well, I have to tell you, I have somebody in the congregation, a couple that called and said, ask if they could come and see Jim and I, and I'm not going to share their name, but they came and they said, we just feel like God is speaking to us. God does that. Sometimes in a still, small voice, but God shares. We have the rescue mission here. Everybody know that? And we support the rescue mission as a church, and I hope you will support the rescue mission as individuals. We usually have a list of things that they need. I hope we help them. I know some in the community don't always like these men in our area because of what maybe they've done to become homeless. But I can tell you, any of us, at any minute, at any hour, could become homeless. But this is the men's shelter, and we need to help take care of them. And so this couple came and said, you know, we're just thinking, what can we do as a church to be able to go the next step after the mission? What can we do? There's not a whole lot of places in town that those from the mission can go and stay in and live when they're done. They're trying to find jobs. Money isn't very adequate. They may not have the skills. Some of them do have the skills. They're changing their lives completely. So what could we do? So we had a discussion, and I'm not going to tell you where that went, because in this last week, I was reading an article in a magazine and was reminded of an area in Detroit that the United Methodist Church helps with, and they build tiny homes. Has anybody heard of tiny homes? Now, some TV shows talk about tiny shows. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about mission tiny homes, to build tiny homes for people who can live in them. And when I was in September, when I went with my cousins and we went to Chicago and Shipshawana, we went down to Shipshawana and there was some that were built so people could actually go through and look. And there was a few different sizes and styles that people could look at. And I thought about Faith Fowler, who is a pastor of the United Methodist Church, and wondered if she might want to come up and talk to our church about tiny houses. They are trying to make a lot of tiny houses into communities so that they're all living close to one another, keeping each other accountable, having that friendship, having a place to start. Well, I went to speak to the person that came to me, and Jim, and guess what? What a God moment. They had read an article on tiny homes and was thinking, well, maybe that's the way we should go that same week. Is God not working? I believe God is working in our community and in our church. And remember at the first of the year I said, there's going to be some changes. That may be one of them. I don't know. God hasn't fully told me, except maybe this is the direction. He hasn't fully told me the rest of the story. I got to keep my ears open, and I hope you keep your eyes and ears open to what God may be saying to you. But then I began to have a conversation with the chief of town here, Brett. Brett, what can we do? I believe that the Spirit is working in our church and that we need to research and find out what God desires in our community. We're going to have that conversation in the near future. But I believe God is truly calling our church to get outside of the walls, to get outside of the box, to do something for the community. And it may be this. It may be something else. You know, maybe somebody else is going to run with this idea. I don't know. Maybe all the churches need to come together and talk about working and building tiny homes. It means we have to find some property. I know where some is. Maybe some of you are plumbers. Some of you are carpenters. Maybe you could assist. But maybe you don't know what your spiritual gifts are. And that's why we're taking the spiritual gift inventory so people know what their spiritual gifts are. So this week, last Friday, was a deadline for the newsletter. And in the newsletter, I've got a couple dates in there. Watch for it, because I don't have my calendar in front of me. But I'm going to do a couple spiritual gifts, one in the morning, one in the evening, so that everyone can participate. Because what we found in the adult class today is a lot of people were surprised by what their spiritual gifts are. And what does it mean? And how do we use that? And we'll continue to work on that. But maybe you also have a talent that's not necessarily just the spiritual gift, but it's a talent of hammering a nail, taking some wood and building a roof. I don't know. I just know God is calling. And in one of my commentaries or in my resource aids said, if Jesus calls, you better answer the phone. Jesus is calling us. He calls each one of us individually, but he's also calling us as a church. Where are we going next? Maybe Jesus is calling you, he's nudging you. Like you say, you may not know, how do I know if Jesus is speaking to me? Well, you know, we want those Lenten devotionals. Maybe you've got a nudge in your heart that God wants you to put something in that Lenten devotional. Maybe you've had a God moment. I can't believe two of us read articles on tiny homes in the same week and came to each other and said, well, maybe this is an answer. That wasn't out of our brains. That was out of God's thoughts. I surely believe it. We just listened, because to be honest, I wasn't going to read this article. I wasn't even going to pick up this book, and I picked it up, and here it was. Because God kept nudging me. Where is God nudging you? What does he want you to do? How is God calling you into ministry? Into a place where we can be the church, to be his hands and feet. He is calling. The question is, are you listening? Let's pray. God, you called these fishermen, and they immediately didn't even discern. They didn't wait. They immediately left and followed you, even though they didn't know where they're going. Lord, I pray that this church will follow you, even if we don't know what the future holds for us or where we're exactly going, but that we will listen with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength to know that you are guiding us in a certain direction, and we need to be faithful and committed and to follow. So use us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Help us to know, without a doubt, what you want us to do. In the name of Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. Now may the ushers come forward for our morning offering. Please stand as able. Father God, you have called us to give, and we have. Accept this offering that it can be used for the ministries, for the missions of this town and this world, that your name is glorified. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Remain standing for our closing song, The Summons, and just a reminder that when the service is over, to please stay. The Summons. May be seated. As you go forth from here, in just a few minutes, may you hear what God is calling you to do, and will you follow? Go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, Mr. Mike. I have the AED right here for you.